Welcome to the Hero Hub podcast, where we explore the journeys of the industry innovators, trailblazers, and game changers who are shaping the future of vehicles and equipment. Whether you're here for cutting-edge tech, business strategies, or simple love of the ride, this is where you'll find the inspiration to fuel your journey.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Robison. I have been privileged to be in the power sport industry for about 29 years. I came about it the same way a lot of people in power sports did. You start working in a dealership at maybe a parts counter, which is what I did. I was also a service writer and I did warranty work for a car dealership and for a motorcycle dealership. Over the course of all these years, have found my way into a specialty where I focus specifically on visual merchandising and display and the ability to help generate revenue through those sources in the store.
How did you land in a power sports job? What was your first position?
The first position in power sports was at a Harley-Davidson dealership in Seattle. And I went to work in the service department and I was their warranty person. I don't know if you could say expert. So I did the warranty claims. I also took in the bikes, wrote service, worked with the technicians, balancing the workload, try to work up estimates, all that kind of stuff. And it was kind of a fun thing, but it wasn't my favorite thing. Ultimately, I ended up working in the showroom more and spending more time in the parts and especially accessories, because the accessories department was so robust. There was so much stuff offered and nobody had a specialty of, you know, working that space and making it look good.
You kind of found your groove?
I found my groove. Absolutely.
Where to from there?
Well, I was there for, I think, almost 8 years. And after that, I found myself doing this work for 4 golf stores in the Seattle area. So I would rotate to these different golf stores and work their departments over and update them and reset them and then go to the next one. So it was constantly rotating. And then there was an opportunity to jump back into power sports through a brand of apparel called First Gear. And I jumped back with those guys in the early 2000s and became one of their salespeople for the West Coast. That quickly evolved where I went to work for a company called Tucker Rocky Distributing. And when I went there, the upper management realized that I had this ability with space management and that my reports were coming back like it's kind of hard to sell apparel when the stores are not in good shape physically. Here I am advising and consulting them like I'm some manager in the store. So they changed my role from sales focused to education and training and seminar focused. So we made something up basically out of thin air from that time, which allowed me to do that for 14 years with the company. You have to be careful with it because people take their spaces really personally. And I might come in going, this needs to change, that needs to change, this isn't working, that isn't working. And from a mechanical black and white standpoint, that makes sense. But I would say that what I've learned is how to not come in hot, because people can be protective of their space. They might say, this looks terrible, we don't like it. But you can't tell them also that it looks terrible. You can just say, I think we can do a lot better. I think we can generate more income out of this. So it's really how you express and connect with people and get them to do it and the other staff in the store, because maybe the owners are really into this and the parts staff is really against it. So there's another hurdle so this can work for everybody. That's a huge challenge.
That's super interesting. Working with people, how you phrase things. What are some top tips you would tell your past self?
You know, that's what you learn over a course of, I mean, I think some people are really good out of the box. Maybe they just naturally have skills. I'm just one of those people that like, it needs to be done. Who cares about the minutia? But unfortunately you have to care about the minutia. So I would just tell my younger self that you're just going to have to find ways to ease into things so that you get people on board. And even though right isn't always right.
Balancing family and work, I know, can be a major challenge for people in the power sports industry. How do you do it? What's your take?
Oh, because it's retail, you dedicate a lot of your life. There's a lot of hours that go to the business. And that is if you're in the store and out of the store, whether it's special events, whether it's getting the store stocked, it's going to dealer OE events and trainings. I mean, there is a lot of stuff that demands your time. How do you balance it? You just have to have good people in your life that understand how big the commitment can be. And I'm not going to say that it's been easy. There's been a lot of weekends and evenings and things that you don't get to do other things in life because you're dedicated to what you're doing. I mean, what if you're an Olympic athlete? Like, you know, they're going to put in a lot of time. And sure. I think it just happens. You try to make yourself very available or bring them into it. I know that my husband's done a lot of cool things in helping with some special events and stuff back in the dealership days. He was around.
Tell us about some of your hot takes, controversial opinions you might have, things that maybe ruffle people's feathers a little bit.
You know, you just don't have a lot of time sometimes. If you're flying into an area and you got the small amount of window that you're working with people, you got to get in there and say what needs to be said and do what needs to be done. And that can ruffle feathers. So just you being there, I can tell you that there would be times when I would go to a store and the store would pre-clean the store before I get there. And you could tell that they were doing it. And I'm like, I'm not here to be judgy. I'm here to maybe give you a different set of eyes, but they can take it as judgy. So I can tell you that you can ruffle feathers without even trying because bride.
What happens when you arrive at a store? What do you look at? What do you see? What's your goal?
Everything. I see everything. It's an immediate, like what I see in the first 2 or 3 seconds. And then it's as I absorb and hear and listen. Does the store feel dark? Does it feel echoey? Is stuff so far away that you don't really engage with it? Is it just a sea of handlebars and tires? And when you get to the parts counter, does it feel like they have anything? Is it broken inventory? Is it just all black inventory? There's just so many different things I'm looking at. The condition of the floors, the condition of the lighting, the condition of the fixtures, the condition of the product. And also just the general vibe of the store, the people that work there. You can read a store, like if there's a happy energy or if there's just kind of a sullen energy, all of those things kind of factor into it. Even the front parking lot, what does it look like outside? You know, is the lawn mowed? Is there trash out there? Are the windows dirty? Or is it super, super neat and clean and tidy? I mean, you literally evaluate everything. Every store is different. There's so many nice stores out there. And there's nice stores that just do silly things. It's not like they even mean to do it. It just doesn't occur to them that that's not helping.
With our upcoming Dealer Hero boot camps, you're going to be talking a little bit about merchandising. Talk a little bit about why training people on that is so important in the first place.
Well, you're judged. Even if you don't want to be, you're judged. And you're judged by people that don't even know they're judging you. They just know they've come to your store. Maybe they have something in mind that they want, but we haven't inspired them to buy or even walk around the store. If you come in, you go straight to the parts counter and you go back out again, then that opportunity has been missed. So it's really getting people to engage more with the whole store or bigger parts of the store besides just going to the parts counter and asking for something. I mean, that's a big goal. You know, it's not that it's just pretty. It's just that it's deliberately smart and that the pie of product is divided in the right way that it attracts people that are buying. So what I mean by that is if you're a motocross rider and your job is parts manager, you probably stock the store with 60% motocross gear. But if you look at your numbers and the numbers say you only sell 15% of two-wheel dirt bikes, then your store is not properly presented and balanced. You have the wrong product, the wrong volume of it. You're making it about you. You're not making it about, you actually have 60% street riders. And then the rest, the other 40 is side-by-side. That is a huge one and it happens all the time.
That's super interesting. How do you help people understand what kind of customers they have?
That's where we do discovery work. If you are aligning yourself with a dealer that wants to go next level, then yeah, we have to do the discovery and we have to make everybody aware, dealer principal, GM, parts manager, buyer, and if we can, service manager. We have to get the store oriented in the right direction at the same time with all the departments. That is not normal. I hate to say it. That's where the controversy comes in. We are running 4 separate departments and they're conflicting and it's putting them all together is the biggest benefit of all.
And that variety of customers, every store is different, which means there's no right answer, right?
No right answer. You can have 2 dealers that are 30 miles apart and they could sell maybe even the same units, but their business can be totally different. One store could be much more off-road oriented and maybe it's their location. And one store could be very much in another direction. It's just, there is no set formula. We have to harvest the data. We have to look at what 50-mile radius is around them.
One of your favorite places that you visited on a work trip, what stands out to you?
I've had a lot of privilege to work with dealers in just about every state in the country. So I've been from Alaska, Hawaii, Maine, Florida. I think one of my favorite places to work, or I love the dealers the most, was Denver. I had a lot of good relationships with dealers in the Denver Metroplex, and it was a big motorcycle city. And it was one of my favorite places. But then I had a trip to Maine that was unforgettable. And of course, I always enjoyed going to Alaska. I grew up there, so it was kind of fun to see some old faces. And then Hawaii, how can you say anything negative about working in Hawaii? Working with dealers in the South, they're a lot of very friendly people down there. And I probably have the most amount of smiles. Just the things they say and do down there is so funny. I love like Georgia and Tennessee and, you know, Alabama and North Carolina and stuff like that. It's pretty amazing. The culture is so different down there. I can't even explain it.
So you've been all over.
I have. It was an amazing, I mean, it was kind of exhausting at the end of it. It was a lot of travel. I was gone two to three weeks out of the month. That was a lot of travel. But I mean, still to this day, there are people that I'm connected to and have relationships with, and they're still operating their stores, and great times for sure.
Any other controversial opinions, maybe like industry hot takes that you have?
You know, for me, what's frustrating, it's more of a frustration. And a lot of dealers would admit this. It's like, when are we going to invest in this being a real retail store and not just a hobby? Like, yeah, unit sales. I know it's all about the unit sales, but if you don't have the back end service and the parts and accessories, those are the things that have typically always kept the lights on, right? Unit sales are going to go up and down. But if there's still units out there, new or used, they need stuff for them. They need service. So I'm like, why would you make sales this huge pie and the other ones kind of like this? Why do you give sales training to the sales department, but no sales training to the parts department? Parts department, they treat it like there's just a guy standing there or a gal at the counter waiting for somebody to come in. That's not the way that should be run. So the controversy is, when are we going to change that mindset? And who wants to just do it and not just wait for tomorrow? It's time. There's been so many dollars forgotten and lost because of this hierarchy of sales department, parts department. What? Everybody should be able to make money. You know, I realize that there's some owners, they get into it, you know, that it's either been a family legacy, so it really matters, or I own these other businesses, I've been really successful, and I wanted to own a power sports store. You know, if I'm doing okay, great. If not, I'll just like shrink everything down. But that doesn't help the people in the store. And the people in the store will help you, and they will help themselves, but they also have to have permission to do it at the same point in time. So I find there's a lot of staff in stores that want to do stuff, but maybe there's a ceiling of, we can't do this, we can't do that. This isn't important. We don't need to do it. We're not going to send you to a dealer meeting to learn something. Like all of these negativities, that is what's killing the industry 100%. If that's controversy, then I'll be the first one to say it.
Thanks. What goals do you have for 2025, Jennifer? Anything outlandish in your personal or professional life that you're really looking forward to?
The outlandish goal is to get back to being involved with power sport dealers again at a level that helps bump the industry. I mean, we need to bump the industry, and we need to also bring excitement. It's so easy to get caught up in minutia of things that you can't control. The tariffs, people coming in your door, you can kind of control. What they do inside your dealership, you can control. Everything outside of it, you can't. Regardless, you need to run your business and keep moving. And so if I can be a part of people's mindsets, building skills, getting back into it, harvesting information to help them make different decisions, help them get on track. Because visual merchandising is a function, not just a fashion. You've got to get your people engaged. You've got to get the product right. You've got to tune that space. You got to change those light bulbs, and you got to keep doing it over and over. That's the big one. A lot of times, like when I used to go into stores in the past, they would treat me like a housekeeper. make my store pretty. That is fine for one time. That will do nothing the next week after I'm gone and things start to sell. And then nobody replenishes inventory. Nobody cleans the space. Nobody buys something new. That would be my goal, is to get people really profitable and get our industry to just keep stepping up. They have in so many other ways. So I don't want to say that we haven't made advances, but there are some advances when it comes to parts and accessories that are still hugely possible. It's like, let's just do this. Let's take a class, take a boot camp. If you take a boot camp and that helps you, you get your staff involved. It might bridge some info. Maybe you didn't know your staff wanted to help you. I do know there are owners that think their staff is just unmotivated. And then I know that staff thinks the owner's unmotivated. And maybe it's just they need to talk. I think sometimes they just get pushed down, or they've been told no too many times. And so they just kind of give up, and then they become, you know, just managers of the parts counter, not of the entire, and their job is a business development standpoint. So I feel like if I can make people aware, it's like, this is a business development zone. What you buy matters, how you buy, when you buy. Are you using that calendar? Are you using anything to help you make these purchases as smart as possible? This is so much bigger picture than just decorating. I really want to see people join the classes. It's a really good opportunity for a fresher. To my knowledge, there's nobody out there that does it, that specifically knows this, the power sport industry. I know what happens in the stores. I know where the bottlenecks can be. I know what happens because I've been to so many of them. So I would just say, please take the opportunity to take a class, get yourself immersed in it again, reach out. You will find so many benefits to doing it. If you do one thing differently as a result of it, will it be worth that investment of time? Yes, 100%. So come on out. Let's do some things.
Well, thank you so much to our guests for joining us today. And a huge thank you to our listeners for tuning in. I hope you found today's conversation insightful and inspiring. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with others in the power sports industry. We're excited to see you at the next one.